The Bill Myers Show podcast is sponsored by Clouser Drilling. They've been leading the way in Southern Oregon well drilling for over 50 years. Find out more about them at clouserdrilling.com. Good morning. It is Wheels Up Wednesday, which means we're going to be talking about transportation and politics and a whole bunch of great stuff, including your calls and questions about vehicles. Maybe you have a question about fixing something. Maybe a recommendation. Do I keep this one, sell that one, buy this one? You know, that kind of thing. We'll do that with Eric Peters coming up in about 20 minutes. Always fun on Wheels Up Wednesday. And we have State Senator Dennis Linthicum, of course, running for Secretary of State. We're going to talk with him at 7:35. Get the latest for that. And Kevin Starrett's going to be joining me at 8:10. We're going to be talking about proportionality in sentencing. And I was just kind of curious with the Michigan school shooter's parents. Sentenced to at least 10 to 15 years in prison for murder. And now, believe me, I would never, ever even begin to excuse what was going on because there were so many warning signs, on this one. But is it proportionate? And Kevin says, actually, if you take a look at what's been going on in the justice system, for certain kinds of crimes, they really do push it there. But although I have to say, looking at, just looking at Crumley's face, you know, when you look at someone, and I know that you're not supposed to be able to, judge people, but you can look and see crazy in a lot of people's faces. And that kid, oh, yeah. Stone cold. Definitely some real problems. And he's going to be in prison for the rest of his natural life. But still, the parents, this is setting a new precedent. And what I'm going to be really curious, and maybe this is something we can talk about over time, is that if now we're going to start sending parents to prison for the crimes or not being completely stopping, you know, the crimes of a child here, How will it jibe then with this whole concept that the Democrats have been pushing for years and years and years that the kids are responsible for absolutely everything? My gosh, when they're 4 or 5 years old, they say, you know, I know I was born a boy, but I'm really a girl. And we're supposed to just believe this and move on. And parents aren't supposed to have any say on it. I guess, you know, really, this is it. You know, either the kids know everything and can do everything and are perfect, or else they're not. I don't think there's really... you see kind of what I'm getting at here, where we've decided that, the teachers are supposed to be, making sure that it's easy for the kids to cut their genitals off without you knowing about it, and they're going to transition them and do all those other things because they're perfectly competent on that, but they're not competent on getting tattoos, you know, things like that. That would be an interesting question. I just popped in my head here. Given that in Oregon, they want to do absolutely everything possible to transition kids and grandkids right now. You know, if they just say, hey, you know, this is what I want, and I want my gender-affirming care. And then the gender-affirmed care kid, still being mentally ill, ends up going up and killing people or causing other sorts of problems. Are the parents responsible? Well, you probably weren't being a good parent, were you? Who gets sued? Well, do the schools, do the teachers get sued? Do the counselors that are, putting them into the tranny world, transition world, is that, do they get sued? You know, this is something to think about. Well, Kevin and I will kick that around, and maybe you want to kick that around too. Just a thought just popped in my head, okay? We'll see. Maybe we'll put some meat on the bone, talk to Legal about that over time, okay? All right. Federal judge, this is a pretty big local headline. Federal judge has dismissed a lawsuit against the city of Medford, this over camping restrictions in public. And the judge agreed, this is Judge Ann L. Aiken, senior U.S. District Judge Ann L. Aiken, upholding a recommendation in January to dismiss the case by U.S. Magistrate Judge Mark Clark, who said the city's efforts to enforce camping rules were justifiable because of its robust shelter and housing options. Isn't that an interesting statement? So in other words, the city can actually attack homelessness as long as it pays the ransom. Right? This whole idea that you have to set up the entire homeless industrial complex, isn't that in essence a court-enforced ransom that cities and city residents have to pay in order to take care of vagrants? I think we need to start looking at it this way rather than going, oh, this is great. A federal judge says that we'll dismiss this this case that six homeless people ended up bringing against the city of Medford. It's okay because we have enough shelters, right? When in reality, it's like, wow, we, the taxpayers, are really getting screwed because the courts are saying that we have to pay the homeless ransom in order to do anything about homelessness. There have to be enough. We have to have homeless rackets and stabbing wagons everywhere and things like that. And then the judges will leave you be, at least a little bit. What do you think about them apples, huh? I think we've been looking at this the wrong way. I understand the way the folks in Grants Pass, who have also been finding themselves under the attack of civil rights lawsuits over the homelessness, everything, you know, everything. Well, all we have to do is just build, if we build more homeless places, some shelters, and then the courts will leave us alone. Yeah, it's like paying a ransom. It's like you're paying a ransom to the judicial Hamas. You pay the homeless ransom to the judicial, the Hamas judges. And then they'll leave you be a little bit. I think that's pretty appropriate, don't you? You can talk about that and more. 770-563-3770-KMED. Inflation came in much hotter last month, about 3.5%. Of course, in reality, some people are saying we're really at 10, 12, 14%, depending on how you look at the statistics. So the stock market is not expected to be doing real well. Yeah, not today, because they wanted free money. Something tells me that all this hope that they're going to be cutting the interest rates, probably not going to happen, all right? Let me check and see what the price of gold is here right now.
Well, I'm at it. Let's see. Burt's Gold.
I go to Burt's Gold page on lewrockwell.com. And let's see. It took a little dip. Still over 2,300, though. 2,323. Yesterday, it was like 2,350. 2,350. So it seems to be consolidating and sort of settling in there. Silver, 2,765. It's down 1% there, too. This could be one of those days in which if you have something, it's going to sell off and drop in value today. When you see the stock market futures and the stock market's going down between 400 and 500 points right now is what they're talking about. Hasn't opened yet. It's going to open in about 10 minutes. We'll keep an eye on that. Well, you know, you lose about $23-24 in the price of gold today. If you're looking to buy gold, it's even more economical. That's the way I look at it. Talk to Jay Austin and Company, gold and silver buyers in Ashland and Grants Pass. Isn't that a shameless plug? You know, I just slide right into that. We go from economics into the gold price and everything else. Yeah, that's a skill from 44 years of broadcast excellence, okay? In all seriousness, though, Jay Austin is the place to go get them. They have been working with me for years, one of my oldest, longest-running sponsors, and I hope that you will get in touch with him. I'm a big fan of having physical gold and precious metals outside of the other financial systems, so that way, well, the Fed can't seize it like they once did back in the Great Depression more than 100 years ago, you know, that kind of thing. But Jay Austin, just trustworthy. They'll help you sell or buy. You got collectible banknotes, too? They'd love to help you sell that, along with diamonds, silver, platinum, gold. You know, you name it. It's all there. Anything precious, talk with Jay Austin about this. Jay Austin & Company, gold and silver buyers. Ashland, 1632 Ashland Street in Ashland. 6th and G in downtown Grants Pass by appointment there, 482-3715. Find out more, jayaustinbrokers.com and fortunereserve.com, where you can also buy from Jay Austin online.
Join me, Stan Mapolsky, at Grange Co-op in White City this Saturday, 10 a.m. to noon, as I broadcast The Rogue Gardener live during Grange's Planting Day. Grange Co-op will plant your beautiful spring plants and flowers with free G&B organic soil and fertilizer. Buy your pots at the Grange or bring your own, a maximum of 20 inches in diameter and a limit of 3 per person. So get your plants planted and listen to The Rogue Gardener live Saturday, 10 to noon, on location for Planting Day at the White City Grange Co-op.
With so many working and doing business from home, it's good to know there's a community business center to help. A Street Print and Parcel is a one-stop shop for everything from large format printing and scanning to blueprints, architectural plans, and shipping. Their Studio 10 expansion offers passport photos, photo mounting, fine art scanning, art reproductions, signs and banners, negative and slide scanning, canvas prints, and so much more. Located in Ashland on A Street across from Ashland Hardware. Their motto, we create it, print it, pack it, and ship it. A Street Print and Parcel and Studio 10.
2x4, 2x8, who do we appreciate? Hughes Lumber, Hughes Lumber. Tweedledee, Tweedledum, the carpenter just hit his thumb. Twinkle, twinkle, little star. What lumberyard has the best repertoire? Hughes Lumber, Hughes Lumber. Mary had a little lamb, but it needed fencing from the ram. She also needed a brand new barn, but only one company has the charm. So when it comes to lumber, what's your choice? Say Hughes Lumber and rejoice on Crater Lake Highway, Hughes Lumber.
Hi, I'm Lamont Morley, and I'm on 106.7 KMED.
23 minutes after 6. By the way, a couple of listeners emailed me and saying that my Facebook account was hacked. And they showed me a screenshot of having received me talking about or giving them some cryptocurrency deal. I assure you, I would never be doing such a thing on Facebook. I just talk about news and views and things like that on Facebook. That's all I do. So I logged out of Facebook, and of course, I'm two-factor authentication and all the rest of it. So logged out of everything, and I don't know if it's a real hack or if it's just someone who creates another Bill Maher show profile, and you can do that. You create the profile, and then you steal the picture, and then people think it's me, you know, that sort of thing. But it's not, all right? So I'm not trying to get you into cryptocurrency or anything else like that. You see that? Just ignore it, okay? In fact, I don't send messages on Facebook anyway. I don't. You know, if you want to send a message, you send me an email. I even say if you message me on Facebook, I say email me because I've got too many things to keep track of. All right? All right. So anyway, just know that I'm not into the cryptocurrency scam. All right? Let me talk to Dave. Hello, Dave. What's on your mind today, huh?
Yeah, I just seen that the CIA and the FBI admit going after Alex Jones and Tucker Carlson on a list.
Uh-huh.
And so I just wondered if you're on that list.
Oh, I don't know. I'm probably pretty small pickings when it comes to, Alex Jones. And, you know, Alex Jones, of course, he can be very entertaining at times. But, when you're going out there and you're talking about the elite eating babies and drinking their blood sometimes, you know, that would put you on a list or two, wouldn't you think? Especially if you're an elite that's going out there eating babies and drinking blood, you know, that kind of thing.
Right, mm-hmm. Right. But I just thought it was interesting. The FBI, a guy working for the FBI that's now working for the CIA, said they were targeting Alex Jones and, of course, President Trump and and others.
Well, in other words, what we figured has been going along or gone all the time. Yeah, did you hear what Americans for Limited Government, you know, Rick Manning, is all about? What he's been pushing right now?
I'm not sure. I haven't seen anything on it. I get emails from him that I read.
Okay, well, I'll tell you what. They just came out with a statement today. ALG, Americans for Limited Government, DailyTorch.com, and also Get Liberty is where they're going to be doing this push here. They're trying to pass the Biggs Amendment, which would prohibit all warrantless search of U.S. people's communications. That's what they're trying to do because they're trying to do this FISA reactivation or reauthorization for the FISA court, you know, the big spying court. Yeah, yeah. And what they want to do is that they want an amendment to the FISA Act. This is Section 702 that would stop warrantless searches of U.S. persons' communications in the FISA 702 database with exceptions for imminent threats to life or bodily harm. Also, consented searches or known cybersecurity threat signatures. So they're looking to get that. Now, of course, even that would be thin gruel because, you know, just silly me, I would just look at the First Amendment and say that should be enough. But I guess the First Amendment is not enough in 2024.
Well, no, because they passed FISA, Congress did. So who's going to, who, excuse me, that the First Amendment is just a piece of paper.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, yeah, exactly. So we'll see about that. You can go to getliberty.org and you can send out an email and encourage Cliff Mentz to vote yes on the amendment. Okay.
Well, I would do LaMalfa down here. So.
Oh yeah, that's right. I forget. Yeah, that's right. You're in the Iron Gate. So go for LaMalfa. I'll go for Mentz. Drop him a note and see if we can get the Biggs amendment going in there, because that would be a nice piece of thinner gruel that I would like, but it's better than we have right now. Okay.
Yeah.
All right. Appreciate the call there, Dave. You take care. Dave's up at the Iron Gate. 627 at KMED, KCMD. You heard on the NBC 5 News when I first started this morning that there was a mother and her 4-year-old daughter smacked by a car, and they were crossing at Oakdale in Maine yesterday, and they were legally within the crosswalk, and the driver of the car ended up being ticketed for not yielding. Fortunately, the mother and the daughter are okay. No life-threatening injuries. And, you always, there's this, things that just make your blood run cold. You know, you hear those kind of stories. Chris Sinclair wrote me this morning about this. And she brings up, Bill, I read on the page that about the mother and her 4-year-old daughter struck by a car while crossing at Oakdale in Maine. And the driver was cited for not yielding. Mom and daughter are okay. Unfortunately, this will not be the last accident there. And what Chris says is, after dark last night, I almost hit one of the rare bicyclists who was crossing Oakdale when I had a green light. He had that ridiculous red light with the bike with the arrow through it. Apparently, it wasn't enough to deter him from going through, but I yielded to him. On every intersection, cars in the cross streets have to pull far into the intersection to see oncoming cars. The parked cars stick out into the car lane, which makes opening doors for the kids extremely dangerous. The kiddie events at the old Carnegie Library have been there for a few years now, and as far as I know, no accidents have occurred. Maybe somebody should look into that. Chris Sinclair. Chris, I appreciate you writing about that. I'm going to have to go over there and take a look at that. I haven't gone by Oakdale in Maine for a little while, but I'm going to check that out and see what that is like and kind of see where that happened. And we have a lot of situations like that where they have parking, especially when you have cars that are parked really close to the corner, to the corner in the intersection, that really block the view of being able to see in order to go through the intersection. And I also must add, and I'm not knocking the big truck, but, we do have this massive truck syndrome now. That, you look at a half-ton pickup truck from 25, 30 years ago, you could actually see over the hood. And now the half-ton truck pickup that would be parked on the corner is, taller than I am right now. And it looks like it wants to eat me, that sort of thing. It looks like it wants to eat you, too. And you can't see around anything. The this penchant that we have for making everything bigger and bigger and bigger and bigger and bigger still. Maybe we'll talk to Eric about that and more because, hey, Wheels Up Wednesday is coming up here in about 3-4 minutes. You want to get in line, talk to him, 770-5633. Questions, calls, comments, cars, transportation, politics. We'll kick it all around with Eric Peters next.
Two Dogs Fabricating knows trailers. They sell trailers and repair trailers. So if you'd like your trailer inspected, bring it to the dogs and they'll sniff it out. Two Dogs will check the axles, hitch, tongue, lights, bed, brakes, and more to make sure your trailer's roadworthy. Most trailers on the road are fine, but it's good to have it checked out once a year. They'll scrutinize crucial welds for corrosion and cracks, too. And if you need any repairs, you'll get a quick, reasonable estimate. Two Dogs Fabricating on Bryan Way, off Sage in Medford.
News sponsored by Caveman Heating and Air. It's the climate and we control it. Call Caveman Heating and Air at 541-476-0009 or cavemanheating.com.
Good morning, I'm Natalie Cerno with your NBC5 Morning News Update. In an effort to help manage Josephine and Jackson County animal shelter capacities, Saturday morning the Oregon Humane Society transferred 60 dogs to their main Portland and Salem shelters. According to a press release, Laura Jansen of the Josephine County Animal Shelter was quoted as saying her organization has been operating at above 200% capacity. OHS is launching a dog adoption promotion now for all the new dogs. Adoption fees are temporarily reduced to $50 for dogs 1 year or older and $150 for dogs under 1 year. And it's your last weekend to hit the slopes in Ashland. Mount Ashland Ski Area's 60th season will be closing this Sunday, April 14th. The Got Guts Pond Skim is happening on Saturday with live surf rock on the slopes by the Reverberays. You can register for the Pond Skim now on Mount Ashland's website. The ski area is open Friday through Sunday from 9 a.m. until 4 p.m. And Southern Oregon's first USA Pickleball-sanctioned tourney is on its way to Grants Pass. The Rogue Valley Classic will take over the GP Pickleplex May 10th through 12th. Registration is now open for both men and women's singles and doubles, plus mixed doubles. Check out all the details on usapickleball.org for more. That's a look at your morning headlines. For NBC5 News, I'm Natalie Serna. Have a great day.
As the Fontana Roofing crews travel around Southern Oregon, they like to keep things interesting.
You know, we've been doing so many roofs around the valley, there's not many areas where we don't see our past work.
Ooh, like that one.
Yep, the whole metal package. Roof, siding, flashing, gutters.
Tile job.
Oh yeah, that's a beauty. Luxury home on the hill with tile and copper accents.
Shake.
That traditional barn looks great with that fading shake roof. That one was tricky.
I'm up like three zip.
Oh wait, I didn't know this was a competition. Composite.
Jinx. Maybe we should just Rochambeau for that one.
Rochambeau? I'm driving. A tie goes to the driver.
Okay, well, I'll give you that one. Metal, you're kidding, destroyed. 4-1.
Oh, this isn't fair. I gotta keep my eyes on the road, and I can't look around and see what else is going on.
While the Fontana Roofing crew has fun on the way, they're all business when they arrive at your job site. Visit FontanaRoofingServices.com.
One of each, Forte VIN 770-783, MSRP 21-645, 3500 due, Sol VIN 235213, MSRP 22-210, 3500 due, 10K miles per year, zero security deposit, all incentives and discounts to dealer, plus tax, title, license, 150 registration processing fee. Trading in a vehicle will not eliminate your debt. Negative equity applied to new loan balance ends 4/30/24.
Making payments on a car you don't want to drive anymore? You need Kia Medford's Payment Wipeout. We're wiping out all the payments you have left on your old car so you can drive a new Kia, like a new 2024 Kia Forte LXS or a new 2024 Kia Soul LX. Just $149 a month lease, both for 24 months. Plus, once we make a deal at Kia Medford, we'll pay off your trade no matter how much you owe. Need credit? Go to KiaMedford.com to get pre-approved in less than 30 seconds with no effect on your credit score. Get into a new Kia, like Fortes or Souls. Your choice, just $149 a month during the payment wipeout at Kia Medford. Click KiaMedford.com.
106.3 KMED, 99.3 KCMD, and this is the Bill Myers Show.
Hocus pocus, he is here. Eric Peters, automotive journalist, dpautos.com, and genius. Welcome back, Eric. How's the old voice going? I know that you've been recovering from the coof, and of course, I could joke and say, have you taken your ivermectin and your horse paste and everything else? But you know, there used to be a time when you could just get a cold, and everybody said, oh, you just had a cold, huh? And, oh, no. Now it's like, you better go to the public health department here, Eric. Welcome back.
I know, isn't it wearying? And you know, apologies to those listening for my voice not being quite up to par, but at least I don't sound like a 12-year-old girl anymore. But yeah, you know, it used to be, you tell your friends and family, I feel kind of garbagey today. I caught a bug. Now it's like, oh, you're what? Oh my Lord! I mean, this is something that's going to be with us, I think, as a culture for probably decades to come.
Gosh, I hope not. Because I didn't stay home or work at home through the whole coof period. Didn't do it once, right? I think I broadcast home once just to see if I could do it, you know? But other than that, I came to work. I went to work. Mm-hmm. I can't relate to all these people that said, well, gosh, you know, I don't want to go back into the office or go back to the store or whatever. Like, huh? Who are these people?
Well, you know, some of that is really sly in that they just don't want to go to work, and this gave them the excuse to stay home in their pajamas and watch YouTube. Everybody knows that's the case, but there's also an element of widespread pathology now where it's considered somehow akin to getting a terminal cancer diagnosis if you get the sniffles.
Yeah, exactly. And fortunately, it is not. We have an immune system. Put it to good work and good use, okay? That's the way I look at it. Hey, Eric, you have a great piece I wanted to talk about here. A couple of them. Of course, I always like it. I always like what you're doing over at epautos.com. But Reuters went after Elon Musk the other day, and Musk is saying that what they're saying is not true. But I guess it's another Elon and Musk kind of distortion. In another, he fibbed. right? So what's the story? What's going on
here? Well, he's not denying it either. You know, he promised at some point. Well, let me back up. The whole premise of his business model, leaving aside the grifting and the rent seeking, was that electric cars were kind of going to be like electronics, such as computers and VCRs.
Right.
In that in the early days, they were going to be expensive.
Yeah, the early adopter was going to have to pay a whole lot more, and then it would start getting cheaper for the masses. And then, you know, in fact, wasn't the goal to have a $25,000 EV from Tesla, right?
Well, yes, exactly. He said that specifically. And the flaw with that analogy is that the reason that the computers got less and less expensive was because transistors, microchips got smaller and smaller, and you could pack more power into a smaller chip, and it produced less heat, and it cost less, and so you could have a less expensive, more powerful computer. EVs are not like that. You know, it's not a fair comparison at all. You can't make the battery half the size that it currently is and half the cost, at least not that I'm aware of with any existing technology. So this promise that he had dangled out in front of people, and which was used, by the way, to justify what he was doing, was that, don't worry, in time we're going to have a $25,000 EV for the average guy. Well, according to the Reuters piece, and he hasn't disputed the substance of it. He hasn't come out and said, no, they're wrong on that particular score. There is not going to be a $25,000 Tesla. And if Tesla can't produce a $25,000 Tesla, who's going to do it?
Yeah, because Tesla's been doing it longer, what, 16 years? Didn't you say that he's been
exactly.
He's been doing cars for 16 years?
The first converted Lotus came out in, what, 2008, I think it was.
Oh, wait a minute. Wait a minute. Eric, I think I know what he's talking about. A $25,000 car, inflation adjusted from 2008 prices. What do you think? Maybe that's how he's going to go at it.
He might.
You know?
That might be the case. But it gives the lie to this idea that we're going to have mass market affordable EVs. You know, they do have cheap ones in China, but they're state-subsidized enterprises. It's entirely a different scenario.
Mm-hmm.
And that kind of thing isn't going to happen over here. So the take-home point is that average people are going to essentially be put in the position of either you're going to drive a $50,000 EV or you're not going to drive at all.
Mm-hmm. Which is the real agenda, which is going in here, which is why, and frankly, I think one of the biggest challenges that we're going to be facing here in the near future as these agendas, because they're still, even if the Biden thing is vanquished, which I think he may be in November, all right, if he's, you know, sent packing, if a sane country, you know, ends up rising up, you know, we'll see about this. There is still so much in the regulatory state which is still crushing the individual transportation options that even with Orange Man in there, you know, who knows? Who knows if he can actually rip that out by the roots in time? I don't know.
Well, he could actually, you know, if he were willing to do exactly what the left has done and simply by fiat and decree say that enough of this, these regulatory decrees are herewith rescinded, period.
Mm-hmm.
You know, the mistake that people on our side make is not playing by the left's rules. The left gets power and the left just does what it wants to do.
And so if this is the case, the non-left need to just do what they want to do. But I was thinking, though, philosophically, longer term, because there is still so much coming at us from so many directions. Freedom and liberty is never granted. You see what I'm getting at?
No, completely. It has to be taken.
It has to be taken. Now, totalitarianism has been taken by the left. And, you know, essentially, you said, hey, we're just going to do this and we're just going to take it. And there's been very little resistance to this. And I could honestly see a day come when, you know, we'll have the next lesbian governor of Oregon, you know, whoever that mm-hmm. might be. It may be a bisexual, or we may go back to a bisexual. You know, we actually look at bisexuality or being a lesbian as a job qualification here in the state of Oregon. You know, okay, it's just the way we are. But be that as it may. In which they're just going to say, all right, no, you're not going to be allowed to drive the vehicle that you have right now on Oregon roads. We will not allow them to be registered. You could see the day coming, which will be just like Red Barchetta, you know, the Rush song, in which there's the motor laws, you know, that kind of thing. And they're talking about this openly over in Europe. But can you see the day, though, when there is mass revulsion at this, and we're going to drive it anyway? And what, are you going to come arrest us all? And maybe it's going to have to come to that, in which, you know, we're going to ignore license plates, we're going to ignore insurance mandates, and we're just going to say, are you just going to arrest us all? What?
Yeah, that may prove to be the only hope. And I wanted to clarify my earlier point about not playing by the left's rules. I think one of the mistakes that those on our side have made is to not insist that the Constitution be followed, to just stand there and let the left get away with arrogating powers to itself. For example, the presidency. The president is supposed to execute the law. He's not supposed to decree laws, period. You know, it's the Congress's job to do that. And if the Congress has not written a law, then whatever they're attempting to force is on the face of it ought to be constitutionally null and void.
It has to be faithfully executed, faithfully execute the nation's laws, right?
Yeah, so if we can somehow recover that, we might be able to recover a degree of sanity and limited government. But I agree with you. I think in the end, the only way that we're really going to put a dent in this is by mass resistance, just the same as during the pandemic. Mm-hmm. If a third of the population had said, no, I'm not going to be locked down like a prisoner in my house because somebody caught the sniffles. No, I'm not going to walk around for the next 2 years wearing a face diaper. If people had done that, this whole thing would have ended much sooner.
Very interesting take on that. Eric Peters, automotive journalist at epautos.com. Eric Peters Autos, EP Autos. Let me go to line two. You have a question for Eric? Go ahead. Welcome. You've been holding for a little bit. Who's this?
Hey, Bill.
Hi.
Hey, Bill. It's Logan. I had a quick question for our brother man here about 7.3 diesels.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. During the COVID, about 3 months into COVID, all older trucks like that are real reliable diesel pickups just went off the chain. Are you remember what I'm talking about?
You're talking about non-compliant. They weren't able to meet the latest tier requirements for the diesel engines.
Well, I'm talking about how the value just skyrocketed on all these, you know.
Oh, yeah.
Okay. Do you see that coming again?
Oh, absolutely.
Do you see that?
And not just for those diesels. I think for any older vehicle that's not over-teched, that has things like mechanical controls for the throttle rather than drive-by-wire, that has a simple port fuel injection system rather than direct injection, no turbos, no CVTs, the simpler, the better. People are beginning to realize those vehicles are the reliable ones. They're the ones that you can realistically keep going for 20 years or longer, as opposed to the cars that they're selling today.
All right. So you have one of those diesels, Logan? Just curious.
I have a couple, and I've sold, bought and sold several over the years, but I think I'm going to hold on to the couple for the next big bubble like he's talking about.
Yeah, could be. Could be. All right. Appreciate the call there. You know, another vehicle that I've noticed that people are starting to say more good things about, Eric, was the American-made 3800 V8.
The
V6, right? The Pontiac and the Buick.
Yes.
The Pontiac Bonneville, the Buick Regal. There was that long series. I've had so many mechanics that tell me that you buy those old used vehicles and they're truly an investment because they are just so freaking bulletproof out there. It's some of the best cars
they built
GM made
for, I think, more than 30 years. It was initially the Buick 3.8 liter V6, mm-hmm. and then they rebranded it as the 3800, and it was put together in various iterations. But it's a very simple pushrod two-valve type of engine that is unkillable. Even if you do manage to kill it, it's easily rebuildable.
Yeah.
And typically they were paired up with a relatively simple four-speed overdrive automatic, not one that has 9 or 10 gears. And that drivetrain is a drivetrain that with good maintenance can be kept going again for, 20, 30 years or longer.
And the parts availability is still good on those too, because so many millions of them were sold over the years. Pretty good. And I would dare say that 3.8 is just as high a quality or just as durable as some of the storied engines like the Toyota V6s that we have talked about. There was just a great period in which some amazingly reliable engines were made from some manufacturers.
Oh yeah, and we have taken them for granted, and it's so sad to me. This week I'm driving the current Lexus RX, which, if you're familiar with that crossover, it used to come standard with the absolutely brilliant Toyota 3.5 liter V6, which is one of the best engines ever made, period, in my estimation. And, thanks to the usual suspects, it's no longer available, and they've replaced it with a little turbocharged four-cylinder engine. And it's so sad to see what was a bulletproof, smooth, high-revving, faultless engine replaced by another homogenous and probably inevitably not as long-lived turbocharged four-cylinder engine.
It's going to be difficult to have the turbocharged, highly stressed four-cylinder have as much longevity as the Toyota 3.5 V6 loafing along, pushing it. Right?
Sure. Mm-hmm. Sure, because in order to replicate the power of the larger engine, they have to put it under boost. know, and yeah, of course, you can make engine internals tougher and more durable, but regardless, you know, you're applying more force to those internals, and because the engine itself is physically smaller, things like bearing surfaces tend to be smaller, so more force on smaller surfaces, usually that's not a great recipe for long-term reliability.
All right. Now, would you in general avoid used vehicles with turbochargers, or are there...
Absolutely.
Oh, you would.
I mean, that used to be a given. You know, you and I can remember, you know, back in the day, the only vehicles that generally had turbos other than diesels were high-performance cars, right?
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, you looked carefully at those because more than likely they were probably going to be a little loose. You know, they were going to be smoking a little bit.
Oh, yeah.
And potentially you were going to be looking at having to replace the turbo at one point. You know, they put turbos on those cars to increase the output of a high-performance car. And, people understood, okay, I'm going to exchange decreased potentially long-term reliability and more repair costs for the sake of more power. That's not the case any longer. The turbo is being used as a displacement replacer in vehicles that are supposed to be just A to B cars, you know, transportation, not high performance. I would personally never buy one.
What if you were looking at a diesel? Because almost all the diesels for years have had some kind of turbocharge. Very few naturally aspirated diesels, other than my 48 horsepower thundering Vanagon from 1982.
Yeah, well, diesels are entirely different. You know, you're talking about blocks and heads that are built much, much tougher than gas engines. As a rule, there are some exceptions, but heavier blocks, heavier heads, relatively low RPM. You know, most diesels will not spin more than about 4,500 RPM. You know, they're all about producing low-end torque, and the diesel fuel itself is lubricious, so, you know, there's another advantage there. Totally different. That's why they use turbocharged diesel engines in big over-the-road trucks, because those things will go 300,000-400,000 miles before they need to be torn down and rebuilt.
So I just want to be clear, though. You're concerned about an older gasoline-powered turbocharged car because it could be a weakness, but a turbocharged diesel you have less issues with overall?
None at all. I actually am rooting around for... I think we've talked about this before. I'm kind of looking to find myself a right-hand drive Japanese export Toyota 4Runner. They call it the Hilux Surf with the turbo diesel engine.
No kidding. So a diesel 4Runner. Now, you can't get a diesel 4Runner in the United States normally, can you?
Of course not.
Gosh, you know, to me it would have been such great because I have to tell you, I love the station's 4Runner, but it is kind of a fuel pig. I would imagine a diesel would have been pretty nice on that. But.
Oh, yeah, I think it gets something like 30, 35 miles per gallon, which is excellent mileage for a pretty, you know, for a mid-sized SUV that actually can do work and can pull a trailer.
Yeah, indeed. Talking with Eric Peters, epautos.com. You have a question or comment for him, join in, 770-5633. We'll take another Wheels Up Wednesday call. Hi, good morning. Who's this?
It's Deplorable Patrick, and you guys are talking about my favorite things, cars and Constitution. And, yes, I just drove to work in my 40-year-old diesel with no computer and no DEF.
No DEF, and, yep.
Right.
You know, one of the many wonderful things, as Deplorable Patrick will amen, I'm sure, with those old diesels, you can roll them down a hill to start them. You don't even need to have an alternator to keep the thing running. Once it runs, it will run.
Got to love that. Got to love that, Patrick.
So in my dream world, back to the Constitution, and stuff that's going on. I'm glad you guys are on that topic a little bit. In my dream world, we citizens could put together a ballot initiative that if you as a legislator put forth a law that is later found to be unconstitutional, you're forced out.
You know what? I would prefer to put an additional caveat on that. How about hanged by the neck?
Even forced out and hanged.
Well, you know, in all seriousness, I think at the end of the day, the ultimate solution is if enough people finally decide that these things are intolerable. You know, if you had a solid third of the population that had some kind of an epiphany regarding liberty, which includes the liberty of other people.
That's right.
Respect their right to be left alone, and in return, they respect your right to be left alone.
Yeah, I can respect their right to be an idiot or do something that I think is wrong, but they don't have the ability to impose their wrongness on me or you or anybody else.
No,
right?
To put it in simple terms, no harm, no foul.
Yeah.
You know, if somebody might be doing something dumb and you think it's dumb, but let them bear the consequences for it if something happens. But if not, leave them alone. You know, if we have a recovery of that attitude, we could recover America.
All right, Eric. I'm sorry. It sounds like you wanted to add something to that, DP. Go ahead.
Yeah, well, I'm just tired of these Democrats. Well, it doesn't cost us anything. We put something up that tries to take away your firearms. It's found to be unconstitutional. We just go have lunch. I mean, they get away. There's no price they pay.
Yeah. In some respects, maybe loser pay. There are some ways that perhaps loser pay would work, except loser pay works only if you have an honest judicial system right now. And I think there's a lot of controlled corruption in the judiciary, unfortunately. But point well taken. Thanks for the call there.
There's a lot of corruption, but more fundamentally, I think there's a lot of busybodyism that we've got to cope with, of people wanting to involve themselves in the affairs of other people. And until we find a way to deal with that, we're not going to be able to deal with these other problems.
We're on with Eric Peters. Let me go to line four. Hi, who's this? And you got a question or comment? Go ahead.
Hey, it's David.
Hey, David. Welcome.
Welcome. Hey, my buddy called me up after he paid off his student loan, and he asked me, he goes, Dave, you're a mechanic. He goes, if you could buy any car from any era, he goes, based on, like, the survivability of basically running forever and the coolest machine, he goes, what would you buy? He goes, tell me, I'm going to go buy it. I'm going to get a bank loan. I'm going to buy it. I said, I buy a 94 Toyota Hilux Surf. And he drove up and bought it in Portland, and he brings it down here from the northern part of the state for me to work on. And what a cool car, man. Driving that 4Runner, that right-hand drive diesel 4Runner all around the woods, what an amazing car. And we've been able to source parts locally from a 4Runner and other things. And what a – if you can – there's a place in Portland that imports them out here on the West Coast, and they're all over Craigslist. And what an amazing machine, man.
Amen and second everything. And that's why I'm looking forward. And to those listening, you'll find that probably within – 500-ish miles of where you live, there is an importer of what they call JDM vehicles, which means, you know, Japanese home market vehicles. And if you Google that around, you'll find it, and you can check out their inventory and see whether they've got one for you.
Is it weird to be on the right-hand side, though, in driving, or do you just act, or do you just pretend that you're a postal worker? I don't know.
Well, initially, you get used to it immediately.
What? Hang on, David, just a second. Eric, I'll let you go first, and I'll get David's response.
Oh, I was going to say, initially, yeah, it's a little funky, but, you know, you get used to it very quickly. I've driven many right-hand drive vehicles, including those with manual transmissions, and it's really no different than driving a vehicle with left-hand position.
David, you wanted to add to that?
Yeah, I love driving it when he's down here, but the best part is it really is no adjustment at all, but the best part is going backwards through the drive-ups. That's the best part.
I didn't think about that, but yeah, you'd have to. You'd have to.
Yeah, I had thought about that. That's a really good point.
David, thanks for the call. It's making me laugh. I'm just thinking about backing the Hilux Surf through the drive-thru. I love it. Hello, line two. You're on. Eric Peters, epautos.com. Good morning. Who's this?
Hello, I've been wondering about this planned obsolescence of vehicles, and it seems that I'm wondering, has there been any articles published about the idea of all these underpowered cars conking out sooner and filling up the landfill, et cetera, et cetera? I mean, is anyone even thinking or talking about it?
Well, I have been.
Well,
I've written
a number of
articles about it, and you're absolutely right. You know, the durability, you know, is decreasing now. The longevity is decreasing. And this is one of the reasons, I think, that so many people are hanging on to vehicles that were made during what I consider to be the absolute apotheosis of car design, which is roughly late 90s through early mid-2000s, when vehicles were so well built that if you took any kind of decent care of them, you could keep them as daily drivers for the next 25 years easily.
Yeah, and I guess we want to hang on to those parts, eh, Tom? What do you think?
Yeah, we have two Plymouth Voyagers. We have a V6 and a 4Banger, and they seem to work pretty good. And we're planning on hanging on to them for all the reasons that you're aware of.
And the other thing about those is that parts are plentiful for both of those vehicles.
They are, because they made a zillion of them.
Yeah.
So it's no trouble finding anything that you need to get those things back on road if they break down.
All right. Great job. Thanks for the call there, Tom. Let me go to line three as we circle along. Lots of calls today on epautos.com. Wheels up Wednesday on KMED. Hi, who's this? Hello? Hi, you're on.
Oh,
yeah. Hi. Yeah, go ahead. Who's this?
I have a quick riddle for you and Eric.
Okay.
Okay.
All right. Government statistics tell us that 95% of EVs are still on the road.
Uh-huh.
What happened to the other 5%?
Ha, 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 ha. I think they made it home, right?
You get the American salute today, Bill.
I heard that dad joke, but thanks for the call, all right?
Yep.
I love it. Yeah, 95% still on the road. Anyway, hi, who's this? Welcome. You're with Eric.
Yeah, Ron Grass Pass.
Hey, Ron.
You know, the biggest part of our problem today is that there's no punishment for bad deeds. If you, for example, had a fentanyl dealer that you caught, and he had it on him, and he was obviously doing the transaction, then they should have an immediate execution squad that comes along and takes care of it and tokes them off and into the hole. And dealing with the politicians, they should have immediate dismissal from their position as a servant to the people, and lose all of their retirement, lose all of their medical, everything.
Well, I'm good with that. I guess my concern, though, is that I don't know if I want to get to the situation in the so-called land of the free that we have field executions I'm kind of a fan of that pesky due process thing.
Wait a minute. Look at the consequences. If somebody who's a dealer sees somebody down the street or next city get executed because he's dealing fentanyl, what do you think he's going to do?
I know, but this still
going to stop doing it.
The point being, though, due process is what actually separated us from the dictatorships of the world.
Here's the problem with that. We don't have judicial, nor executive, nor legislative law now. We have dictatorship, and we're not punishing those. We're not taking them to the mat. We get stuff stolen from us all the time. We can't defend ourselves. We can't.
I'm not defending the lack of enforcement, though. But ultimately, though, when you're brought I assure you that if the field executions were coming up the way the system is currently designed here, they would be executing you in the field
for some perceived.
You're not a lawbreaker. You say you're not a lawbreaker. They can find something to tag
you
with.
Yeah, but that's the problem. You see, they're the problem too.
You're saying you want to give them the power to then field execute. Yikes!
No,
anyway,
not them.
Hey, gotta go. But anyway, Eric, take on that and
well. Yeah, well, I mean, I definitely sympathize with callers' frustration about the fact that genuinely bad people, for example,
right.
a convicted murderer who has without doubt committed the deed and had due process, had the day in court. And is sentenced, figuratively to death, but then spends the next 25 years on death row at our expense. That's egregious.
Mm-hmm.
Justice should be meted out in a timely manner for whatever the crime happens to be. If you're duly convicted, and the other thing too is I'm a big proponent of the harm cause standard. If you've done something, you should be held accountable. On the other hand, if you haven't done something, you have a right to be left alone, and that right should be respected and protected.
Even though a lot of people on the right will make jokes, I'm sure you've seen those sort of things of, hey, there aren't enough helicopters, to give helicopter rides. And who was that dictator that did that? Was it a Chile?
It was Allende, I think.
Yeah, maybe it was. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
In which you threw communists out of the helicopters. But still, I'm a big fan of due process because you never know when you might want due process. I think it's very important. I think we can agree on that much. All right.
Agree.
Hey, before we take off, though, you have another article you just posted today called Sit Up. And this is something to watch out with the vehicles that are going to be coming.
Did you like that video?
Yeah. It was bad enough that we had the ass button always turning the engine on and off every time you would pull up to the intersection. But now the car is going to nag you to sit up and sit straight?
Yeah,
what?
Well, it's as if you have a clown, literally, sitting next to you in the seat, or an annoying mother-in-law with a ruler or a horn, and they honk the horn and rap you across the knuckles with the ruler every time they think you've done something that you ought not to have done. And in this particular case, I'm talking about what they call the drowsy driver or distracted driver system. That almost all the new cars have this.
Oh, that's right. Now, can you turn off the drowsy driver?
No.
Oh, okay.
Well, you can defeat it, as I did. And you'll see in the video, I just took a piece of painter's tape and put it over the eye monitor, which really enraged it. Flaxing at me about how I need to let it scan my face. And that's what it's doing. It's scanning your face as you're driving, if you can imagine that.
You made car angry. Do you made the car angry with you? Oh, no. Can't believe
it. And the thing is, right now, it just expresses frustration with you. But I'm convinced, this is dark, but I believe I'm right. I'll put $50 on the table for anybody who wants to bet, that what's going to happen as this elaborates is that if you defeat the drowsy driver system or you don't pay attention to it or it decides you're drowsy because you look to the left or the right rather than straight ahead, it's going to put the car into limp home mode, or it's going to shut it off by the side of the road. That's how they're going to implement this thing that Biden has put out, the so-called kill switch, which they claim is about drunk drivers, but they're going to call it impaired driving or drowsy driving or whatever. And they're going to use all this assistance technology to make it impossible to drive unless you do exactly what they tell you to do according to the program.
And I would also dare say that they will probably then take automated ticketing enforcement and tie it into those kind of computers, and which is why they want the Internet of Things via 5G and beyond. But that
yeah, and they won't even have to make it involve the courts. They'll just connect you directly to the insurance mafia, and every time you do something that's technically a violation of some law, you'll get hit with a surcharge on your insurance.
Mm-hmm. So if you're talking with the driver to the passenger next to you, and you're talking with your one hand, right, and then of course the car will complain because you don't have both hands on the wheels, right? That
yes.
kind of thing. Hmm. Yeah, you could see how this it would end up going. Yet another reason why it's going to be perhaps more difficult to sell some of these newer cars there, at least for those that want to remain or retain some kind of autonomy on the road and actually drive their vehicle rather than being nagged all the time by the vehicle itself.
Yeah, this stuff has come along so rapidly. You know, if you've been out of a new car showroom for, say, 5 years and haven't experienced this yet, wait until you do.
Hmm. And this is the drowsy driver. And you first discovered that a number of years ago. I think you were test driving was it a Volkswagen Jetta, I think, at the time?
I can't remember. It was one of the European manufacturers. And, yeah, you're right. That's when it first began to come online. But now it's ubiquitous. They all have it.
Yeah, and you didn't realize what was going on. It was because your video camera that you had as you were recording the review on this ended up seeing the infrared camera that was scanning your eyes. And you didn't realize it had that technology, right?
Yes. Exactly.
Mm-hmm. Wait until they come up with the anal probe, right, in the bucket seat.
Don't give them any ideas. You know, we laugh, but I don't think it's beyond reason that something like that might happen.
Yeah. We'll grab one more call before we take off, and Eric is go back and do some more reviews and do some other things today. Hi, who's this? Good morning.
Hey, it's Peter. I was just wondering, I've got an opportunity at within the family, some people who have a, like an early, I think it's like an 04 Acura with under 100,000 miles on it, and it's a four-door. And I'm wondering if that is for $1,200 to boot.
Wow. Hell, I'll buy it for $1,200.
Just wondering if it's, I'm trying to figure out, I got a fleet already, and I'm like, I don't need another car, but I say to myself, this is stupid to not. Hey,
well, look at it this way. If you get that car for $1,200, consider it as a hedge against inflation. You know, you decide you need some money 6 months from now, more than likely you'd be able to turn that thing around on Craigslist and sell it for $2,500.
Yeah, but still.
Are your Hiluxes, are those always van style?
No, it's not a van. It's simply it's an export market. What they sell in Australia, New Zealand, it's a 4Runner or a Tacoma. You know, it's an identical vehicle. It just has different drivetrains, and it's right-hand drive rather than left-hand drive.
And you can get it with a diesel. Isn't that cool?
Yes.
Well, I'm tapped into the one out of Portland, but they always come up with these vans, and, you know, generally the little van, I can't remember what the van's called, but it's what I'm looking for, but it really is small. You know, if you're
is literally the 4Runner. It's a 4Runner or a Tacoma pickup. So just keep looking for the Hilux or Hilux Surf. They call it that too.
Yeah.
And what does Hilux refer to?
That's the name. That's just what they call it in export markets.
But that's what they call those van ones too, right? The Hilux.
Well, I don't know. I'm not aware of that. But the ones that, and I've seen and driven these things in person. I have a friend who actually owns one. It's a 4Runner.
Okay, my eye's out for it. Thanks for your show. I really appreciate you guys. You're great.
Oh, thank you, Peter. Appreciate the call. Appreciate all that. By the way, you can log in over at epautos.com and drop in comments and questions and email Eric and all the rest of it. download a free ebook that he has out there. And by the way, did you ever finish your lemon book or the lemon car book?
The doomed book? No. And I, you know, Bush, you're making me feel awful and guilty today.
Oh.
I have put that on the back burner because things have gotten so crazy over the past 3 years in between the diaper reports and all the other things I've been adding to my schedule. But I've got to get back to do it and finish it. It's essentially done. I just have to format it, edit it, and put some photos with it.
Well, when you do, we'll talk big time about it, my friend. You be well, okay? Eric
Thank
Peters,
you,
thanks so much. Eric Peters, epautos.com. Great site, wonderful thinking going on there.